You know, there's a lot wrong with the United States. We seem to be a work in progress. And I could stand up here today and probably go on for hours about what's wrong with America, from abortion and crime and race relationships and all kinds of issues that we are having to deal with as a nation. And so often it seems like we preachers tend to always talk about what we're against rather than what we're for. Well, today I want to be a little bit different. Instead of talking about what's wrong with America, I want to talk about what is right with America. There are some things we have right. I don't see Americans en masse fleeing to other countries. You know, we complain about our country, but then, and I do too, but then I have to ask myself, well, where else would I go? I was talking with one of my kids this morning about this, and they're like, where would you go? And I'm like, well, there are just a handful of places that I would even consider, but I still don't want to go there. I just don't see us lining up on the boats to go somewhere else in this country. Couple of verses that we often think about when we come to a Sunday near the 4th of July and our Independence Day. One of them is Psalm 33 and verse 12, and it's a great reminder for us where the psalmist writes and says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." And it's true. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But then there's another verse in Proverbs that just simply says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Again, I could go on and on about what's wrong. But let's think about some of the things that we ought to celebrate that is right with America. You know, there are still churches in America that preach the Word of God. Yes, there are some churches that have lost the anchor of the Word of God and have drifted into moral relativism and theological liberalness and have lost sight of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know what? More than any other nation in the world, we have churches that say, this is the Word of God without error and will not flinch from it. And say, you know, in this book are the only words that can give life. It is a living Word of God. And we will not change what we believe as society changes. So, as you live in America, give thanks that there are still churches of many denominations that still will stand and say, this is the Word of God, and will not back down from it. So hallelujah. Another thing that's right with America is that there are still sinners getting saved. You know what? We don't talk about that in some of our churches that much anymore, but you know what? Sin is still sin. And sin has still separated us from God. The wages of sin is still death. But guess what? The gift of God is still eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And just as God used to save people in the past from their sin, God does it today. He still welcomes anyone that comes to Jesus. And I have never heard of anybody ever regretting that they came to Jesus. Sinners still get saved in America and around the world, but thank God that the gospel is still preached. There are sinners still getting saved. I also want to share with you another thing that is right with America, is that there are still courageous men and women of faith who stand for righteousness. You know, we say, oh my gosh, where is society going? This is such a disaster. People don't seem to have a sense of right and wrong and morality anymore. Well, guess what? There are still millions of Americans that do. There's still millions of us that stand and say, you know what? The rest of society may choose to go down this path of destruction, but me and my house, we will not. We're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to take the stand. Yes, we're going to be called weird, indifferent, bigots. Everything else you can think of in the book is going to be hurled at us. But that's okay. Thank God there are still courageous men and women of faith who stand for righteousness in this country. And the last thing I want to share with you, and this is where I'll spend most of our time this morning, is be thankful that there are still Christians who walk in God's will. Be thankful for it. I could go on and on about all and make a list that would take me all day to go through of some of the things that people who walk in the will of the Lord do rightly, but let me just examine a few of those quickly this morning. You know, there are still Christians in America who are honest with gain. Gain meaning profit, material wealth, the things that they have. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 17 that we should never pay back evil for evil to anyone, and we should respect what is right in the eyes of all men. In other words, just live rightly. Be honest with what God has given you. There are still people in America who are honest when they file their income taxes. And you're going, well, of course, Pastor, they're afraid of going to jail or being audited. But you know what? There's still millions of us that do it because the Bible says we are to be honest, that we are to be people of integrity. That even if there was no threat of penalty, we would still do it because that's what people of integrity that are honest do. There are still Christians in America who are more worried about their reputation, not so that they can get ahead, but guard their reputation so that they can have a good testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in their lives. There are Christians in America who are honest in their business dealings too. I'm so thankful that I met a great Christian man who is a very honest auto mechanic. And when I take my vehicle that's not in warranty anymore in, and I think it needs something, he'll go, you know, I could charge you this to do this, but I'm not going to do it because your vehicle doesn't need that. In fact, this is what it needs. It's much simpler, and it's going to be a whole lot cheaper for you. And he'll say, it's not that I'm telling you this because it helps my bottom line, it helps your bottom line, but I have to live with God. I'm thankful for people like that. Many of you know those folks like that. Praise the Lord. See, there's some things still right with America right there. You know, there are still Christians in America who live with humility. You know, it seems like you have to be an egomaniac these days, you know. Facebook and other social media, all you see is about people bragging about how great they are and what they got to do and this and that, and the media is full of it. You know what? But there are so many Christians who understand Matthew 18:4, where Jesus takes a little child in his arms and he says to his disciples who had just been arguing about which one is the greatest, and he says, whoever humbles himself as this little child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There are millions of Christians who are just faithfully following the Savior. They don't care if their name is never in lights on a marquee. They don't care if not everybody knows who they are. They just humbly follow the Lord and love Him. And you know what? There's Christians who are so filled with humility still in America that when something happens in church that some folks get mad about and fuss about and change churches over, they just humbly seek the Lord and say, you know what? It's not worth breaking fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ over this. And they truly live in humility. But there's also those who live with the humility of understanding that, you know what? I'm not above falling into sin. My heart was broken yesterday when I saw that an old friend of mine in ministry, a man who pastored the first church I pastored, he was about two pastors after me. Great man of God, wonderful family. And I saw where he had divulged that he had lost his family, that he had given in to the temptation of alcohol, and he had become an alcoholic. And he lost his family, lost his ministry, lost everything. And he thought it would never happen to him. Well, see, a true humble Christian understands if it weren't for the grace of God, it could happen to me. And they guard their hearts and they see themselves properly with humility, that I'm not so great that I'm above it all. Thank the Lord that there are still Christians like that in America. There are still Christians in America who live in the power of the Lord from a holy life. Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. He speaks to us so that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. That was a mouthful from the Apostle Paul. But basically what he's saying is, I'm so thankful that there are Christians who understand that if they live a godly life for the Lord, there's power and strength they receive from the Lord. Power to overcome. Power to take those annoyances and turn them into pearls, as I was sharing in the children's message. Living their lives in such a way that they are a godly influence on those who are around them. Living their lives in such a way that people begin to see the difference that Christ made in them, and that they begin to see their friends coming to Christ as they see the hope of Jesus shining. Thank God that there are still Christians like that in America. Thank God that there are Christians in America who help others and sacrificially give. Paul went on in the next chapter of Colossians, in chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, he says, I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. And part of that overflowing with gratitude is living a sacrificial life. I'm thankful that there's people in America, Christians in America, who still practice tithing. I'm thankful that there are Christians in America who freely give of the talents that God has blessed them with. I'm thankful that there are still Christians in America who donate their most valuable resource ever, and that's their time. You can always get more money, but you can't always get more time. And they give of them time, of their time, and to give of their time is to give of their very lives. I'm so thankful that those Christians still exist in America. I'm thankful that there are Christians in America who promote the happiness of others. Isn't that awesome? That instead of looking out for their own welfare first, they look out for the welfare of others. This is what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Galatians 6:10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, right? To all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Isn't it amazing that we still have Christians in this country who, instead of saying, everybody serve me, they seek to serve others? Is that not the essence of Christ himself? Leaving heaven and all the privilege and honor and glory of his throne. And Jesus left all that and he came here. And as the Bible says, was obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Why? Because he was seeking the happiness of us rather than himself. He came to serve, not be served. Praise the Lord for these brothers and sisters. Instead of worrying about being visited, they are out doing the visiting. Instead of trying to burden others, they are seeking to bless others and be a blessing. And the last thing I want to share with you in this list that could just go on and on, but reasons why we can be thankful, is that there are still Christians in America who love Jesus and his gospel. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, a verse that defines the gospel. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What Paul was saying was, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The good news that Jesus came, lived a perfect and sinless life, died on the cross so that all who will look to him and what he did on the cross will find forgiveness of sin and eternal life and live forever, not only in glory to come, but have life abundant now. That gospel that Paul said he wasn't ashamed of, that he said was for the Jew and also the Greek. In other words, people of all races all over the world can find the power of God for salvation in that message. I'm thankful that there are people like me and like you today who are not ashamed of that. One thing I've noticed, when people are ashamed of something, they try to hide it, don't they? Bury it, cover it up. But if you're not ashamed, you want everyone to know about it. Thank God that there are still people in America like that. As I come to the end of this message, though, I have to ask you, Has your life been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? As I have given thanks that there are still Christians in America who do these things today, are you one of them? We celebrate our independence from England and the monarchy. But you know what? There's only true freedom found in submitting ourselves to a different type of monarch. Not one across the sea. This king's different. This king became a servant so that you could be free from sin and the grave. Have you given your life to Jesus? In a moment, as we have an invitation, I invite you, if you have not found Christ, to come and to pray with me and to receive Christ as your Savior and to become a child of God, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this simple message. Thank you for the nation that you have given us to live in. And Father, thank you that we still have churches preaching the word. Thank you that we still have faithful Christians who stand courageously for righteousness and truth. Thank you, God, for your blessings on us. And Father, now we pray that you would bless this time to respond to the message. In Jesus' name.